I'm weary and my soul will start to show some rust. All the things I placed my hopes in crumble into dust. I will keep on fighting and do what I simply must. In you I put my trust. In you I put my trust. Israel, and that's every prince of God. That is what you made me rough myself, I'm surely not. You're my hope, the only one who's good and pure and just. In you I put my trust. In you I put my trust. Suffering and the pain of all the countless innocents when you come again. When it seems the enemy's won and my cause is lost, in you I put my trust. In you I put my trust. Upon which all my cares and woes I'll thrust. In you I put my trust. In you I put my trust. You've been my salvation from the enemy within. Your grace proved to be greater than my weaknesses and sin. For as long as I live, I will love you at any cost. In you I put my trust. In you I put my trust. You're a shelter, rock, and safety that no enemy can bust. In you I put my trust. 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 In you I put my trust.
Well, good evening, dear Blog Talk Church family. It's good to be with you again. It's been a while since I've been on here. I believe tonight's teaching will indeed be a great blessing to you. And I just have one news article I thought was interesting that I'd like to share with you tonight. And it's just something that I saw. I don't know if any of you remember the Dukes of Hazzard from, I think, January of 79 through February of 1985. The actor, one of the main actors was John Schneider from the Dukes of Hazzard. Well, anyway, it turns out that he made a comment on social media that he thought that Joe Biden, along with his son, should be hung for treason. I saw a picture of him on the internet wearing a t-shirt that had the U.S. Constitution on the front of it. Apparently, the Secret Service is investigating him. I wonder about the comments made by the current admin of what should have been done to President Trump. No further comment. Well, if you're ready, let's pray. Father, I come to you tonight in Jesus' name, and I lift up this show tonight, this teaching, this internet, this blog talk church that we're having tonight. And I just pray that you would bless it and that you would use your word. You would take your word and reveal it by your Holy Spirit and reveal Jesus to the listeners tonight. It would open up to all of us, and we would receive and be able to move forward in receiving things of God and to receive miracles, Lord, in our life. And I just pray right now in Jesus' name that you would just do a mighty work in the hearts, in the spirit, and the mind of all the listeners tonight. We give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you were able to read this month's newsletter, then you read the article that I wrote about blind Bartimaeus. I told of his father and the meaning of his father's name and the meaning of the names of both Bartimaeus and Timaeus, his father, and that possibly Bartimaeus was born blind because his father was born into foulness and uncleanness. Now that perhaps may have passed, let's just say, that may be why these things were passed down to Bartimaeus. This is a very real possibility. So we saw how that Bartimaeus cried. He did not just cry out, but he actually cried. He was tired of the stigma. Blind Bartimaeus, that beggar, blind Bartimaeus. Look at him, blind Bartimaeus, in those old rags he wears. But Jesus loved him and Jesus healed him. And I believe, as I said in the newsletter, that Jesus looked on Bartimaeus that day and he heard his cry. He didn't just hear the sound of his voice. He heard his cry and he heard Bartimaeus's heart. And I believe that's what God does for you and me. So we also saw that certain sins can and are passed down from one generation to the next. As we saw with the blind man in John 9, Jesus said that this did not come upon this man because of any sin in his, that his parents did. For this blind man, Jesus did a creative miracle. And in Matthew 9:27-31, Jesus simply asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Did you hear that? Do you believe? He said, actually, "Believe ye that I am able to do this." Bartimaeus had his faith in Jesus. The blind man received a creative miracle from Jesus. And the blind man just had to believe that Jesus could do what he said he could do. So we have examples of the sightless receiving sight in Scripture. But we also see those desperate for a miracle receiving a miracle. But now consider that these men were all blind. Their miracle was a hard one. We would call it a hard case to believe for, right? But it was not impossible with God. It was not impossible with God. What about you? Do you need a miracle tonight? Do you? Maybe you need your own eyes healed. Maybe you have a cancer and it spread throughout your whole body and you are on a short time clock now. Maybe you have a broken relationship that is so painful and hurts so deeply that honestly, the healing of it completely is beyond your vision? What about being in a financial hole that maybe you dug and you have no way nor idea as to how to get out of it? And what about diseases, MS, cancer, diabetes, heart troubles, etc.? No way out but death or a miracle is what you were told by the doctor, maybe. This may be it for some of you, but not all. What do you do? How will you ever receive a miracle such as these blind guys did? Jesus is right. Jesus is right where you are right now, whether you choose to believe it or not, whether you know it or not, whether you are aware of it or not. He is standing right there, right where you are, and his spirit is asking you and me today the same thing that he asked those blind men. Do you believe that I am able to do this? Let's think about that as we move forward in the lesson and the teaching tonight. Let's go and see what happened that day. Okay, first I want us to turn in the King James Bible, if you have one. you could look in another Bible, but it's going to sound a little different. But let's turn to Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 27 through 31. Now, I'm going to read this to you from the 1599 Geneva Bible. And as Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, O Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus gave them great charge, saying, See that no man know it. But when they were departed, they spread abroad his fame throughout all that land. So he is asking us the same thing today. But you might ask me, how can I believe for something seemingly so impossible in my life or in my body? Let me read you a few scriptures. I hope you are writing this down. If you can, have a Bible handy and a notepad and a pencil or pen and write some of these things down, because I think it'll help you a lot in the long run down the road as you advance to your own miracle. But first, think on what Jesus asked the blind man. Believe ye that I am able to do this? Do you believe? God wants us to believe that Jesus, he is able to do this. Amen. So, in the 1560 Geneva Bible, it's almost the same, but it says, While we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It reads the same in the 1560 Geneva Bible as the KJV does, basically. I saw maybe one word that was different. And let's see it again in Jeremiah 32, and I'm going to read verses 17 and 27. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and by thy stretched out arm, and there is nothing hard unto thee. Behold, verse 27, Behold, I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Matthew 17:20. And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as much as is a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So it says impossible. That's a different look at that. So there are many scriptures that tell us that nothing is impossible to him or her that believes. and that nothing is impossible or too difficult for God to fix. We have to believe that, but we must first adjust our vision, because in reality, do we really believe God to do for us what we see as the impossible? We each must answer that for ourselves, but if you are struggling with that, I have a few suggestions that I would like to pass on your way this evening, as well as something I think is pretty profound, really, that I'll cover at the end of the message tonight. But the Spirit of the Lord showed me just recently, so let's dive into this now. Okay, first, let's consider that these blind men could not see with their physical eyes, could they? But they were determined. All they could do was to, one, fix their eyes on Jesus, that is, their spiritual eyes, their faith, and their expectation. Because we need to have expectation. It's the forerunner to faith. I mean, you have to expect, and then you believe, and then you receive. Actually, the world has it the other way around, but that's the way it is with the word. So when they did, number two, faith rose up in them. And three, then they were healed. That is what we see when we read all of these stories about what Jesus did. First, they fixated their eyes, whether physical or spiritual, on Jesus. Second, they allowed faith to rise up, and they allowed themselves to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and that he could and can do what he says he will do. And third, they received their miracle. And I think, in a way, if you want to think about it and just consider this, that I think that's kind of the way it is for us. We have to get our eyes on Jesus. We have to allow faith to rise up, an expectation to rise up, and then believe. And we have to meditate on his word. That's one that I should have let, they didn't do, but that I think is important for us to do, is to meditate and focus and fix our eyes on the word. And then lastly, they received their miracle, and so will we. So I want to look at a few scriptures pertaining to the word fix. Actually, I think I only have one here. No, two. I have two scriptures. And they are Psalm 112, verse 7. He shall not be afraid at evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Psalm 108, verse 1. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Praise the Lord. So to fix our eyes or attention on something is to fasten upon it visually, physically, spiritually, or for some, even mentally. It is to look upon, to gaze upon, to fasten upon. It is also to put our attention on something or someone, to focus upon, to focus visually on something or someone. Now, I love the way the Great Bible, the 1539, puts it in Hebrews 12, verse 2. Now, I want to say this. There was a Bible. It was called the Great Bible of 1539, and it was supposed to be the best one prior to the Tyndale Bible, I believe, if I'm not mistaken on that. And of course, the Tyndale was supposed to be the best before the Geneva, and the Geneva, of course, before the KJV. Now, in these translations, is that the earlier they go back, the less what we call corruption, the less adding words and taking words and changing words, the more straight from the manuscripts put into English that it is. And Course of the Great Bible, and I mean, I'm looking at the print right here for this, but if you don't know the King James very well, you probably wouldn't be able to read it. But this Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2, you know, it's really powerful what this was in the original. And when I get to this one word, you'll know what that one word is that was left out. And I just thought it was incredible. So here's chapter 12, verse 2 of Hebrews from the 1539 Great Bible. And I read, "Looking unto Jesus, the captain and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, abode the cross rather than endured the cross." He abode. In other words, he endured the cross. He abode the cross and despised the shame and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. So he is also the captain as well as the finisher of our faith. I mean, that is powerful. He's the one that leads the army. He's the one that leads the armies of heaven. And he's the one who leads his church. He's the captain of our salvation. I think that's pretty cool. Now, some versions, rather than saying looking unto Jesus, say fixing our eyes on Jesus. But these are the more later versions, though. But let me ask you a question now. How do we fix our eyes on or focus, or put our full gaze and focus on Jesus? How do we do that? I'm going to be asking you several questions, and we will answer them all along the way. So don't give up. And I'm taking us somewhere in this. I'm not just randomly speaking. We fix our attention on him. We fix our eyes on him. But how do we do that? Let me ask you this. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? Do you need healing? Do you need deliverance? Do you need answers to prayers? Then what are you looking at? Are you looking at symptoms in your body? Are you looking at your wallet? Are you looking at emails, texts, and letters that have hurt you? And so you have, at, I guess, all but given up on seeing this healed? Are you looking at demons? Now listen carefully to this. I hear this so often, and people really, you've got to see God for who he is, not the devil as some big, big thing, you know, that's you can never get free from. So are you looking at demons that make you think that they're larger than life? Demons that tell you they are a principality when they are not literally anything more than demons? They lie. That is what you need to know. Demons lie. The truth is not in them at all or ever has been. Are there prayer requests that you've taken to God only for the circumstances to look absolutely impossible with no way out? If so, then you're looking, you're fixing your eyes, and you have turned your eyes in the wrong direction. Our eyes should not be on symptoms. Our eyes should not be on demons or physical pains and hurts. Our eyes should not be on mental, soulish pains and hurts or rejection or circumstances. This is what we may have been looking at. And maybe that's why we're in trouble today if we have something going on in our life that needs to go. Are we looking at what we may have been focusing on rather than who we should have been looking at or on all along? Now I want you to go with me, look at a few scriptures. So for the next here, I guess, few, unless otherwise noted, they will be from the earlier King James. Matthew 8:5-10. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And the man was healed. Did you hear that? Jesus just spoke the word, and the man back home at the centurion's house, his servant, Jesus didn't even have to touch him. But the word touched him that day. The word went and touched the man and healed him. That's what I wanted you to see. Then there is Matthew 8:16. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Jesus cast out demons with his word. He just had to say, come out in Jesus' name. Come all the way out in Jesus' name. I adjure you, come out in Jesus. Well, he didn't have to say in Jesus' name, but he just had to say, come out. His word, that was enough, and they came out. And then there is Matthew 9:20-22. Oh, this is good. Oh, this is so good. This is so good. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now, before I move on to talk about this, I want to add this. I want you to look at this. It says from that hour. A lot of people go, well, I didn't get healed, so I guess God's not going to heal me. That's such wrong thinking. Sometimes you get healed instantly. Sometimes if you stand on the word and you keep thanking the Lord every single day, every time it comes to your mind, you remind him, you speak that word over your body and over that situation, by and by it can come to pass, and it will. Problem that we have and where we miss it is we don't hang in there for the long haul. We don't stay with it and see it through. Now, she said if she could just touch the garment he wore. But this was no ordinary garment. It is said that the priests and the rabbis' garments had tassels on the bottom of the hem. Blue threads were in the tassels of these garments. And these tassels represented the word of God. So when they touched each tassel, it represented the word of God. There's more to this. This was really powerful. The threads were blue. Now, you would think, well, they should be red for the color of the blood of Jesus. but the threads were blue. And it was said that the blue threads, the blue color represented the glory of God. I read that the color of blue back then was such a pure blue that no one in modern times has ever been able to match it from the earliest time. For hundreds of years, no one's been able to match the blue because it was such a beautiful, pure blue. And it was made from a dye derived from a snail. Now, the red dye that they used back then was derived from the tola worm. And that was used for dyeing the clothes for the king and the king's children. And all of this speaks of God and his glory and beauty. Now, this, if you're on a hunt for Jesus in the Word, in fact, when you read the Bible, you should always be on a hunt to find Jesus, because you will. Now, this blue dye was used for the clothing of the high priest, vestries of the tabernacle, and in the tassels worn by the high priest and the rabbis, all of which speak of Jesus as he is hidden and revealed in every part of the ancient tabernacle. So when that woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she was touching the very Word of God, because he is the Word. Let's look at John 1:1-3 in the Geneva Bible. And remember, the earlier versions were sometimes without as much corruption or the changing of the original text. So this, I think I have this here in the King James. It says, in the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let me read that again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then we see in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we know, of course, that the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was and is God. So I ask you again, what are you looking at? Why, I'm looking at Jesus. How are you looking at Jesus? Oh, I just pray and believe the Bible. I have a couple of verses that I confess every now and then. Would you believe, for most people, while they say that, many are still sick or not receiving answers to their prayers or receiving from God. And why is this? I ask you, and I ask me, and I ask any of us, and I ask them, what or who are you looking at? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, from the beginning to the end, will be the Word. I don't have the scripture right here, but at the end of Revelation, it shows the rider on the horse, and there is a banner across him that says the Word of God. I mean, the Word of God. We have to get to the place that we cherish this word. We just love it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So this word, the Word, is Jesus, the Bible tells us. Now let's look at scripture again, Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. And then in Romans 10, 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, which we preach. In the Greek, the word logos means the word. And it is the same meaning for the word, which means Jesus. I have turned my eyes upon Jesus. I have fixed my eyes upon Jesus. Have you? I'm trying to do this more than I ever have in my life. I'm looking at Jesus. I'm looking at his word. I am comparing myself to this word. I am allowing it to compare me to it, so that any corrections that need to be done, anything that needs to be fixed or made right or changed in my life, this word will show and guide me in the right direction. I've fixed my gaze, my focus, my attention on Jesus. Have you? I put my attention on Jesus fully, my mind on him, my mind on Jesus. Have you? Okay, that's wonderful, sister. But how do you do that? How do I do this? How do you do that? We hear these sermons by all these different people, including myself, and we go, okay, so now how do you do that? You tell me about it and it sounds good, but how do you do it? Well, I want to share something with you about this that might really, really help you. But first, let me ask you a question, because this will lead you to it. This is part of it, and it's going to go in a different direction than you thought it would go. So the question now is, do you read your Bible? Oh, yeah. I have my 15-minute devotional and coffee with Jesus. I have met people who actually have said that. They actually do this. Some struggle to believe God is going to heal them when they never even read their Bible. Again, do you read your Bible? This is not a trick question. And it's certainly not meant to shame anyone. I am hoping, though, to provoke you. I want to provoke you as well as to show you something that will help you move forward by leaps and bounds in your Christian walk. Do you want to do that? Would you like to go on a journey with Jesus in the Word that you've never been on before? How often do you read your Bible? How much of the Bible do you read at one setting? I'm taking you somewhere in this, so that's why I'm asking you this. It's important to go a step at a time to grasp this, so let me present something to you that God revealed to me recently. If you read your Bible, then if at all possible, ask the Lord to give you a plan to read through the entire Bible, beginning to end, maybe part of the New Testament and part of the Old Testament daily. Now, if you are an early riser, then at first try to get in at least, stay with me, 5 chapters that morning or at night before bed, depending on, you know, when you have your time to be in the Word and read the Bible, but preferably in the morning, because your mind is fresh then. after a while, you will see the Bible more clearly. Now, I want to say that at first, when you start reading large portions of the Bible, you have to make yourself, usually. Your mind is going, oh, really, please, please, I need to get up. I need to go do this. I need to go make dinner, breakfast. I need to get ready for work. I need to take the dog out. I need to feed the cat. I need to do this. I need to do that. Your mind is just demanding that you stop and go do something else. But see, that's what the devil wants you to do. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to neglect quality time in the Word of God. So start with 5 chapters if you can. It will open up to you. Now, like I said, in the beginning, it's going to be, really, please, can we move on now? Can I just move on? And you get a little bit where you want to go do something else. You can always go make yourself a cup of tea, cup of coffee or something, and bring it in and then read the Bible nonstop. Close the door. Don't even turn the phone on. Just sit there and read your Bible nonstop, uninterrupted, for as long as you have determined. Now, like I said, the longer, it takes about 3 or 4 days of reading longer amounts at a time. Takes about 3 or 4 days, and then let me tell you something happens. Clutter in your mind begins to clear up. The Bible begins to open up to you. Honestly, it does. And when this begins to happen, try to increase the chapters per day that you read. I know that's a lot of Bible in a day. I once read that there was a man, I read this several years ago, not long after I first got on the internet, so who knows if it's even still there. I've found a lot of things are gone and they're not there anymore, but I read about this man. I think he might have been in prison, but I'm not sure. It was years ago. But supposedly, get this, he memorized the entire Bible. That makes the few chapters I have committed to memory look pretty small. In my head, I guess I have about 7 chapters that I've memorized that I need to go refresh and add to the list. To move on to the finale, your Bible is the very Word of God on printed paper. Now, every time you open it up and you start reading and spending time there, you must keep that in mind. I am reading the very Word of God. And in a sense, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's wait. I'll wait and share that when I get to it. Now, let that soak in for a few minutes. You need to know these things as they will prepare you to receive from God down the road. It is clear, it is known, it has been proven that Jesus is in every book of the Bible. He is that red thread all through the Bible. He is the Word, and He is in the Word. Now, I want to take you a step higher in this, so here we go. Here's the next level of this tonight. Look at Psalm 40, verse 7. Then said I, lo, in the volume of the book it is written of me. Then Hebrews 10, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. We have seen it in both the Old and the New Testaments. in the volume. In the volume. That word in the Old Testament in the Hebrew is scroll. In the New Testament in the Greek, it is roll. The scrolls and the rolls were categorized as volumes, much like we have done for over 1,000 years with books. Case, the volumes are books. In the volume or in the book, it is written of the Lord that he has come in the volume of the book. Did you see that? In the volume of the book. So when you read your Bible, just remember that you're reading a translation from ancient parchments and scrolls and rolls that were rolled on a piece of wood very carefully. Some were on parchment, some were written on animal skins. They were still written, and the Word of God was written on those. And through the years, men and women suffered terrible, terrible persecution for bringing those translations through the centuries down to us today so that we could have a Bible. Do you know that they had to be very careful? In fact, the King James, the reason they had to change it from the Geneva Bible was that they had to be very careful when translating it so as not to upset the kings and the queens, because some of them back then were Catholic, and they did not want the Bible to be available to the common person. They said that, well, you want to learn of it, then, you know, let the clergy or let the Pope or let someone read and interpret it for you. In other words, you're not smart enough. So do you know that the Bible, it has undergone so many changes, but still it is the Word of God. Still, it brings forth results. Still, it can be memorized. Still, when applied to you or me or to our body, to our physical body in any way, to any situation or circumstance, if we will stand on it and stick with it and stand on it, it will bring results and we can be healed. Many years ago, I was bedfast for, 7 months flat on my back. And I was in a lot of pain. I couldn't hardly walk. I had injured my back. So one day, the Lord spoke to me very clearly, and he told me, he said, to start thanking him every day, that every day I would be better than the day before, but the next day I would even be better. So I formed this prayer and added some scriptures to it, and I began to say it, and you know what happened? Nothing. For almost 3 months, nothing. There was no change at all. Nothing. But it was a test. Are you going to quit? Or are you going to see that thing come through? Well, you know what? I stayed with it. And one morning, I was able to get out of bed easier than the day before. And then another day, cling to the wall to walk. It didn't hurt so bad. And Thanksgiving Day, I was able to drive the car to the mall and walk the whole circumference on the outside of the mall. I was sore when I got back in the car, but I was so jubilant because I made it. Now see, the Lord healed me little by little, but I had to speak that over my body. And you remember we just read how that woman that touched the hem of his garment, Jesus, when she touched the hem of his garment, it says that she was made whole from that hour. So from that hour forward. So if you say, well, you know, Jesus didn't heal me, I prayed and nothing happened, but you have to latch onto it. You have to fix your eyes and your heart and your mind and your spirit on it. You have to stay with it. You have to fasten yourself to that word and not give up and not walk away from it. Because if you walk away from it, you just gave it away. You just don't have it now. And you say, well, I don't have a man or woman of God to come lay hands and pray over me. I don't know anyone that'll come and do that. Well, you know what? It's good that if you could, but if you don't have that, you have the Word of God, and it's way better than any person that could come and pray for you, which I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I mean, if you can, great, that would be wonderful. But if you have the Word of God and you will just stay with it, and every day you will start speaking it over yourself, and just realize that you may not see change, for it might happen tomorrow for you. If it does, listen, I am happy. I totally rejoice with you. But if it doesn't, and if it's a month or two or 3 months down the road and nothing has happened, you are at the very brink of a breakthrough. That's all I can say. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. In the book today, we know it as our Bible. So to simply say this, or what should I say, to simplify this, he has come to you and me today, and he is in the Bible. He is in the book. He, the Word, in the Word of God. He is in that book. He is there. He is in there. And you go, right, okay, so I'm going to open my Bible, and Jesus is going to suddenly stand up there in the Word. Well, spiritually, yes. Why do you think the devil fights you so hard to not read your Bible, to not spend time? And I'm talking about quality time, reading it and studying it and combing through its pages for hours. Pages and pages, chapters and chapters, for hours and hours. Have you done that before? I tell you what, I am pushing forward personally to read and to study my Bible more and more and more and longer a day, because I want it in me. I want the Word in me. I want it to change me. I want to reflect Him, so that when you look at me, you don't look at me. When you look at me, you just see the character and in the ways of Jesus. You don't see me. And, you know, because really, without Him, we're nothing. We have nothing to give anyway. So we might as well get over ourselves. And that's not to say, you know, that we're worthless or anything. We're blessed. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what the Word says. Honestly, though, we need to get to the place where we just think. We think on the things of God, and we consider Him, and we focus, and we turn our eyes, and we fix our eyes on Jesus. Because Jesus said in the volume of the scroll, in the volume of the roll, in the volume of the book, that is what is written about Him. That it was written about Him. That it was written of Him. So when you and I read our Bible, we are not just reading about him. We are not just reading his words. We are not just reading words of life, hope, peace, joy, and salvation. For all intents and purposes, let me put it profoundly, when we are reading our Bible, when we are looking at those words, when we are facing those words, the Bible is in front of us before our eyes. When we are reading the Bible, we are reading Jesus. We are reading the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us by his Spirit. We are reading healing. We are reading hope. We are reading life, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We are reading miracles. And that is what you read when you read your Bible. And that is what will bring the results for the miracle that you may desperately need tonight. Down this morning. Example, okay. Let's just say it's morning, and right now you just got out of bed, and, you know, you think, well, I'm going to go make myself a cup of hot tea. So you bring your hot tea to the place where you're going to study the Word, and you sit down to read your Bible. And you know, it's early, no one is up, no one's around you. If you can, really, if you can get up before anyone else, go to a room where no one else is. If you have to, close the door. If you just get there by yourself, totally by yourself, the Spirit of God can speak to you when you have no distractions. Okay. So it's just say it's morning, you have your cup of hot tea, you're sitting there, you're reading the Bible. So you get carried away and begin to read chapter after chapter after chapter. My, the time just flew, you know. 2 hours just went by and it seemed like 30 minutes. You know you need to get up and get moving, but you just read 5 chapters, maybe 8. That 2 hours passed so quickly. Maybe you read more. Did you? 9 chapters? What did you do? Read your Bible? Yes. But you have just spent all that time turning your eyes, fixating your eyes on Jesus. Your vision was on Jesus. Your physical eyes beholding the words on that page. Those words went into your brain. Those words went into your mind. The words in your mind have now been absorbed by your spirit. And by your spirit, the Holy Spirit, can now take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and reveal them to you and me. Now your focus, your eyes have turned on Jesus. You have turned your eyes upon Jesus. Your heart, mind, and spirit is now on Jesus. And you've read what? Let's just say you just for this son, let's just say you haven't ever done it and you just read 5 chapters. I tell you what you're going to do. First time I read a long bunch of chapters, the very first time in one setting, all I could do all day was think one thing, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So page after page, what's happening is your spirit is drinking him in, informing Jesus himself and his character in you. This is what happens. And what he wants to do in all of us. He's not looking for you to be some great, great person. I mean, if he advances you, that's wonderful. That's wonderful if he advances you. And he might, and he could. It's just to lift him up, to see him grow in you so that, look, you know what, I'll tell you, let me give you an example of what happens. When you begin to read long portions of the Bible at one setting, and you do this day after day after day, you go out in public, and there is such a clarity in your mind that you didn't possess before, that you begin to see things differently. You begin to, God works a compassion in your heart for people. And, you know, you're able to be kind. I mean, there's, the word of God will change you and me. It will. Yes, we all need deliverance, but we need the word of God. A lot of people think that they have, people have contacted us that they have these big, one even said, I have fallen angels in me. No, you don't. What kind of thing are you believing? Those are lies from demons. One thing, you're not important enough for a fallen angel to get in you. And two, fallen angels, they usually deal with the elite of the world, those that have the largest influence on populations. Then they're going to have fallen angels, but they're not going to be in them. They're going to be side by side working with them. Don't make the mistake, the dreadful, terrible mistake of lifting demons and putting them in. They have classes. They have, you know, different ranks. And different kinds and types of them live in individuals. But the higher ones up, they deal with counties and cities and towns and states and governments and countries and nations. If you lift demons high enough up in your mind, you can never lift Jesus up. So start lifting Jesus up. And the way you can do that is to start digging into the word and reading the word and staying in the word for long periods of time, as much as you can. Now, like one day, you know, you might can read 13 or 14 chapters, but the next day you might only get in 3. But make your goal always to go as far as you can, because the further you go with God, the further he's going to take you in him too. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful, how should I say it, life that you and I can have. Yes, we need deliverance. Yes, there's every human on the face of the earth has demons, and they all of us need deliverance. But if you want freedom in your life, to live freedom, after you get deliverance, you need to fill your house with the word. And the more of the word that you put in your house, oh my, you will see it. I promise you, you will see it. Get in that word. Spend quality time in it every day when you can't, but don't neglect it daily. Like Pastor said, you know, I've walked in on him. There he is reading the Bible. There he is. He's praying. He has a list and people he keeps on his list. I've seen him pray. I mean, he prays for so many people. He reads his Bible. He's in the Word every day. And so am I. And the longer you're in it, change you're going to see in your life. And why do you think Jesus said that your joy may be full? He wants you to have that joy. So if you go, well, I read 5 chapters today, tomorrow you get 100 distractions and you can't even get a whole chapter in. Hello, guess who does not want you to read the Bible? You know, one time I had a certain goal of chapters for that day. And I believe the Lord had actually shown me to read from this chapter to that chapter. And so I did. And I had, do you know, I had so many interruptions and distractions that day. Do you know, it was almost the end of the day before I finally read that last chapter. And I kept saying, I kept hearing this. Well, you know, you could just take up where you left off tomorrow. I mean, there's no condemnation. I mean, you could just start here tomorrow. And I thought to myself, how long have I done that? How long have we done that? We all give in to that. And I said, no, no, no. I don't care if it's until I go to bed. I am going to finish these chapters today. And I did. And I tell you what, the Lord revealed things to me because I stuck with it. And I think sometimes it's just the obedience. Like when I was on my back for that 7 months, nothing happened for 3 months, it seemed like. I mean, there are other things that did happen, though, that I'll share another time. But getting out of the bed, you know, and changing my body, it took those 3 months. But it's a test. Sometimes the enemy will keep back what God has for us just because, you know, he's, it's like, yeah, well, let's see if you're really going to stay with it or not. Well, are you? Where are your eyes? Who are you looking at? What are you looking at? Well, if you are looking at the Word and you are looking at the Lord Jesus, the longer you look, the more you become more like him in his ways. The longer you read your Bible, the longer your eyes and brain and mind and spirit is seeing Jesus, you will be changed from glory to glory. Now, I don't want you to miss this. So some of these things, you know, you might see me go back to them here and there this evening as we go through this. But just say, for instance, right now, okay, if you have your Bible and you're not driving or you're not doing something and you have your Bible, open your Bible. Just, you can open it anywhere you want and hold it in front of your face. Now, you're going to look at the Bible. Just say, okay, just say this morning you're starting in Matthew chapter 10. And you think, well, okay, I'm going to read, let's see if I can get 10 chapters in or 5 chapters in or 8. So you're reading it, you're looking at it, and your eyes, you're reading, and you're reading, and you're reading, and you're reading. Jesus did this, Jesus did that, Jesus says this, Jesus says that. And your emotions, the person, the real you on the inside is sitting there, and like I said a while ago, for all intents and purposes, you are looking at Jesus, because in a way, you're going back 2,000 years and you're reading what he did. You're reading what he said. You're reading what those who wrote this down, who knew him, you're reading what they said that he said. And you say, well, hello, I mean, these are just the words that some guy just said. I mean, how do we know God even said that? Well, I tell you what. Put it to the test. If it's real, it will work for you. Well, you know, I broke my toe, and it they say they don't even know how it's attached in my toe, in the skin. It's so broken. Well, you know, I pray that's not the case, but if somebody out there and that's you, look, it's an impossible situation, right? It looks impossible. in the natural, they may can fix it. They may not be able to, but probably if they do fix it, they're going to have to put a pin in there to fasten it back to your foot. I mean, there's all kinds of scenarios that the doctors will tell you, and you'll this and you'll that and you'll probably blah, blah, because that's what they do, right? But if you say, look, Lord, I know this is an impossible thing. I know that there is no fixing of my toe. There is no healing of my toe without you. It's not going to happen if you don't fix me, Lord. Please, Lord, fix my foot. Fix my toe. Join it back together. Heal my bones. And then start doing this, okay? I'm going to share my secret with you. Here's what you do. Just say it can be anything. Forget the toe. It could be the toe. It could be a hand or an ankle or a foot or something. Or it could be, God forbid, if you're dealing with cancer. What have you got to lose to believe God? What have you got to lose to believe the Word of God? Here's what you can do. You can start doing this. Tonight, when you're in the bed, you've said goodnight to everyone else, or if you're by yourself, you're laying there, and you know that sleep is going to come pretty soon. Or maybe it's not. You just need some time to lay there, and you want to talk to God. Okay, so say this. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that today, I am, you fill in the blanks, I am better than yesterday. The pain is less than yesterday. Any cancer, any growths, they're shrinking. They're smaller today than they were yesterday. But Lord, I thank you that tomorrow, such and such, and you fill in the blanks, will be better than today. Now you say, well, what faith is in that? Well, until your faith is built up to the level that you can say now and you see it happen, you have to start somewhere. Start somewhere. Start today in the Word. Start speaking the Word over your body, over your mind, over your health, over your soul, your family. Start speaking that Word. Well, I did that for 6 weeks. I tell you what, 6 weeks I didn't see any change. You gave up. Should have stayed with it. But you know what? If you gave up, it's not too late. Get in there and start over, and this time don't give up. There are some people that, you know, God is going to take them home. It is their time to go. But I don't really believe that it has to be through, what, how would you say, deterioration and disease and sickness and stuff in the body. I don't believe that's God, or it's not his will. It's not him. It's not, he doesn't do that to people. So you are looking at the Word, and you are looking at the Lord Jesus, because like I said, you're holding your Bible in front of your face. The longer you look, the longer you read that Bible, the longer you read those verses, the more you become like him and his ways. Now, you remember a while ago, I mentioned and told you about the color of the tassel thread. It's blue, right? And it represents both the Word of God and the glory of God. Now, look at this. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, I'm going to read that. I'm going to read that slower. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, you know, that verse, you've heard people say, well, that's weighty, like heavy or weightier. Well, that's one of them. Oh, did you get that? Did you see that? We all, with open face, that means there's nothing over our face. You don't have a mask on. You don't have a veil on. When you are reading the Bible, you are reading it with open face. You are naked and opened and exposed, so to speak, to that word and to the Lord. You are beholding as in a glass. Now listen, you go, what does that mean? It says, beholding as in a glass. Now, that word glass is like a looking glass. It's a mirror. Ah, now that casts a whole new light on this. Beholding as in a mirror. Beholding the glory of the Lord. So, when you're with an open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. So when you're looking at the word, you're looking, the glory of the Lord is now being reflected onto you, and then you are changed into this image that you are looking at from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now we are changed into that same image from glory to glory. We've heard that scripture in our Christian life many times, to see it that way. When you look into the Word, look at Him, beholding as in a mirror, even as by or changed by the Spirit of the Lord. I know this is almost beyond our grasp, but it is so powerful. So in essence, we all behold and we look. We see as if in a mirror. We behold. We see as if in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We are changed by the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit of the Lord. I don't want you to miss this, so stay with me. Here is another example, and this might bring this into more real time for us. Okay, probably not far from where you are right now, you have your phone. I mean, who doesn't? We all have these phones. They're like an attachment to the body. They go with us everywhere. Some of us, though, have learned to not take them everywhere. So, if you have your phone, let me ask you this. Have you ever picked up your phone and I did this. It's hilarious. Have you ever picked up your phone and accidentally hit the reverse on the camera on your phone? Surprise! You're now looking at yourself. But hold that thought for a few minutes. And you go, what? I didn't do that. Well, you did it, but, you know, just use that, just hold that thought there for a few minutes. You took up your phone and somehow you clicked on the camera and your finger, you moved it a certain way or whatever. And when you did, it hit the reverse, so you're not taking a picture out in front of you. It's now... it's looking back at you, and you can see yourself. Excuse me, let me grab a quick drink of water here. Now, if you sit there, and stay on your phone. Sometimes you can be on it for hours, right? Just say you're in an airport or, you know, you're sitting in with a friend, you went to some office and you're sitting there waiting or, you know, they're doing some work on your car and you're sitting there waiting. Now, if you sit there and stay on your phone browsing through apps, reading emails, doing Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Rumble, or any of the internet social media apps, looking at stuff on Google, playing games, doing text, Messenger, it can go by before you know it, right? And there you were, sitting there looking at your phone for hours. And if you just spent hours looking at the harmful rays being let off by your phone, well, you know, you don't know that. Well, you know what I thought? I thought, rather than just say this, I'm going to go see what I can find on Google. So even a quick Google search, I'll read you, quote, this is what it said on Google. I typed in, do cell phones give off radiation or harmful rays? I think that's what I said. And here's what Google said. Do cell phones give off radiation? Yes, cell phones and cordless phones use radio frequency radiation, RFs, to send signals. RFs is different from other types of radiation like X-rays that we know can be harmful. We don't know for sure if RF radiation from cell phones can cause health problems years later. Can you believe that? The very ones that try to make you think, you know, you're taking it too far, there they tell you themselves that it's dangerous to spend hours and hours and hours looking at the phone. So you see that long time use at one setting, staring at your phone, doing different things like maybe social media, answering texts, talking on the phone, what else? Playing games. There are innumerable games on that phone. It can be dangerous to your eyes and to your health. So are you putting your eyes on your phone? And if you are for long periods of time, I don't know what effect it might be having on your eyes or on your body. You have to determine that. But over several hours, your eyes can become sore and in some cases lightly burned. But this can also happen with computer screens, which is why I think you can buy these covers for your screen to protect your eyes. Well, because you are looking unknowingly in the light of that phone in your hand or on the pedestal that you have it sitting on, something can happen to your eyes. We've just determined that. Can begin to happen to your brain and mind. Aha! Now that lets us in on something. Let's just put it simply like this. What you put in front of your eyes over long periods of time affects your brain and your mind, good or bad. If you look at, like if you, one time when I, well, I should say in the beginning, when I first got my first rounds of deliverance, the first thing I started to do was write scriptures that counteracted them on index cards. And I had, and it sounds funny to me now, but I have to say, wow, look what the Lord has done. I would put them in the kitchen window. I had them laying in the bathroom on the floor by the toilet. I had them in my jeans pocket. I put them on the island in the kitchen where I would work. I had them in the bedroom by the bedstand. I think I even had some on the coffee table, but I moved those with me most of the time wherever I went. And I didn't intend to memorize the word because I hadn't even thought of that. I just kept reading it to as medicine because it was medicine. Because when you're really strongly demonized, you're sick. Spiritually, you're sick and you need medicine. And even the Bible says that, you know, the word of God, laughter is a medicine. The word of God is like a medicine to us. When I figured, hey, you go to a doctor, you get surgery, whatever, they give you medicine to take or meds. So the way I saw it was that the word of God is going to be the medicine to bring me out of this, to change me, that what used to be in me, if I'm going to see it through and I don't want this back in me, then the only way it's going to happen is if I get this in me and I begin to believe this rather than what I used to believe. I begin to see this rather than what I used to see about myself. Because unknowingly, in the light of that phone in your hand or on the pedestal, something happened to you. And you may not notice it. And honestly, if you back off, you know, things will change and things will happen for the better for you. But let's stop there for just a minute. Remember, accidentally or even intentionally looking at yourself on the phone? Now consider this. Instead of your phone, you're holding your Bible in front of your eyes. You're reading your Bible. You're looking at the Word instead of your phone. You're holding your Bible in front of your face instead of your phone. You've been reading it for hours. No harmful rays or radiation is coming to your face and brain and mind and body. Only Jesus. But your eyes are literally on page after page after page after page of your Bible. Do you honestly think that nothing will happen to you when you tuck away that much word in you a day? Do you honestly think that you've just encouraged yourself and you walk away and you go to work or go whatever you're going to do and that's all you get out of it? Do you really think that? If you do, let me tell you, no, that's not what's going to happen. Yes, you will be encouraged. Yes, God may use that and you go, wow, I now wasn't anything that I actually read, but somehow in all of this, I now know what I need to do with such and such a situation. So think again. If you think that nothing will happen to you, the enemy is lying to you, because when you spend that much time in the Word, it's going to change how you think, how you see life, how you see people, how you see your husband or your wife or your family or your friends or your workers and coworkers, your boss, you name it, it's going to change, but it takes time. It takes time. You can't just do it for a week and go back to the same way. You got to stay with it. and over time, then you get the results. Now, remember the blue tassels that I talked about? They were called Tekalex instead of radiation rays. You are receiving blue rays or blue Tekalex from your Bible, in a sense. They are going into your eyes when you read your Bible. This happens spiritually, but also your brain receives the word and will begin to act on it physically. If you read that you are horrible, let me stop there. Let me say this. You know, if somebody has led you to believe your entire life, I think this is for somebody out there. If somebody has made you feel your whole life that you're just disgusting, you're horrible, and that you're just so awful, you just have no reason to live, that you just are horrible, it's a lie. But if you hear that, and especially if you read it long enough, eventually you will feel very depressed and even believe it. But the Bible does not tell you that. Instead, it tells you that you are an overcomer in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the saved. You are the healed. You are the redeemed. And hour after hour, those blue Tekalek rays from the Bible, from the Word, are going into your brain. You are exposing your eyes, your brain, and your spirit to the Word of God and to the glory of God. Because remember, those blue tassels, Tekalex, they represent the glory of God. So when you're reading it, you're reading the Bible, you're reading the Word of God, and you're receiving the Word of God, the glory of God, hour after hour. You're looking at this image in the Word of God that the Spirit of God is showing you and doing in you. And the longer you sit there, the deeper this work within you, and the deeper this does actually, it works within you and me. It's powerful, and it changes you and me from glory to glory. Well, you're saying, you keep saying from glory to glory, but subconsciously, you are staring for hours and hours at the glory of the Lord. You're staring at it and in it and through the Word of God. Honestly, I hope you are getting this because, see, if you spend that time on the phone like that, staring at the face of the phone for hours and hours and hours, it can be harmful to your eyes and to your body. See, you could stare for hours and hours at the Word of God. It doesn't hurt you. It heals you. I mean, couldn't it be, and isn't it true, that if you read the Bible, you read the Word of God, you read the scriptures on healing, and you find everything on it, and you read all of those, and then you just read, you know, chapters and chapters and chapters, and you just devour the Word of God, your faith is going to begin to grow. And what you're believing for, it's in line with the Word of God. You can decide. You can see it happen. I believe that. I think that whatever we need, if we stare and read and look long enough at the Word of God, by reading and reading and reading it, chapter after chapter after chapter of our Bible, we can have these petitions that we have desired of him. And it will, let me just say, it will, the words, looking at Jesus, looking at the word, looking at Jesus in the word, it will change us. It will change me. It will change you. Oh my, you see that? For me, that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, takes on a whole new meaning entirely. I would play it. I would play someone's version of it on here, but copyright would not allow me probably to do that. But since it doesn't, I'll get to that in a minute. I'll read the chorus to you, but you probably already know it anyway. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your attention and your focus on Jesus. Gaze at him in the word. Look at him in the word. Read about him in the word. Maybe you just want to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read those over and over and over, because you're reading how Jesus healed, how Jesus delivered, how Jesus fixed things. He fixed things in people. He spoke to them. He gave them wisdom and life. Maybe that's what you need more than anything. If that's it, then just read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Read all four of them. And when you get done, start over. This I will say. I've read through the Bibles I don't know how many times in my life. Each time that I read through, I see so much more that I didn't see the first time. And I go, how did I miss that? And it's a joy. It's such a joy. It becomes an adventure. It's a journey that you take with Jesus. It's a journey you take with the Father. It's a journey you take with the Holy Spirit. And it becomes something that you just, wow. It's like, wow, how did I miss this? How did I not want to do this? But let me tell you, the time that we're in, you need the Word of God in you. You need him to help you. You need that Word, because the things that are coming and the things that you're seeing are terrifying. The Word of God will get you through it. He will see you through. So what are you waiting for? What are you looking at? Who are you looking at? Turn your eyes, fix your eyes on Jesus and his word. Start spending time gazing and staring at his word. You will behold him. You will see him like you've never seen him before. It will become a mirror reflecting the glory of God back at you. Have you ever felt that maybe you were just not good enough for God? And that after all, you did this. You did this thing, or you did that thing. And you feel bad, and it's hard for you to get past it. It's hard for you to even pick up the Bible and turn the first page. Well, that is the devil, that's Satan, that's demons, because they know if you ever really get a hold of that book, you aren't going to want to lay it down. They know that if you ever get a hold of what's in that book and you begin to share it with your friends and neighbors and your family and your children and grandchildren and your boss and your coworkers, and complete strangers, if you ever get a hold of the Word of God and you believe it, because, well, you know, now, you know, there may be some doubts. See, The enemy has put those doubts there. But when you begin to pile on chapter after chapter, read that Bible, you begin to see him as he is, and you begin to believe. Because, see, that is the real reason that most people don't receive from the Lord is, bottom line, none of us will admit it and can admit it. Simply put, we love the Lord, we believe he's real, we believe in the Lord, but we don't believe him, that he will do it for you or for me. But when you get in the Word and you stay there and you begin to see some changes in your life, you're going to see stuff that you never thought you would see before. Like I said, the Bible will open up to you in ways you never thought possible. My last passage, or scriptural reference that I want to read to you tonight, is pretty cool. This is one that I had committed to memory. One of the first chapters I memorized was James chapter 1, and beginning with verse 22 through 25. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, or into the word, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, did you see that? It all begins with this man, that he goes and he looks at himself in a mirror, and he goes, well, I need to change this, I need to change that. But then he goes away and he forgets all about it. And he doesn't follow through with what probably the Lord was showing him. The word was reflecting back at him, but he was just going his way, abandoning it. But if we look into the perfect law of liberty, or the law of freedom, if we look into the word of God and continue in it, and don't forget, and don't be someone that forgets the word of God, doesn't want to hear it, doesn't hear it, and becomes a doer of the work instead, not just a hearer, but a doer. This man or this woman will be blessed in what they put their hand to do. Now, if you behold yourself mirrored or in a mirror to and in the word of God, because now when you're holding the Bible up, now look at it as a reflection. What you're going to read there is going to reflect back to you. You read his word, it's reflecting back to you. Now when you do that and you're allowing his word to change you, then you will become what you're reading. You will become the hearer and the doer of the word. You will become the recipient of the word of God and the glory of the Lord. You'll become the recipient. And I mean, what more could we ask than to receive that in our lives? To be changed by it, to be changed by his word. There was a time that I believed that, well, miracles happen, but they won't happen for me. And I believed that lie for a long time until, well, actually, after I got deliverance, and dear brother that's gone on to be with the Lord, he worked closely with Brother Frank Hammond, and he made me pulled a mirror up in front of my face. Oh, I hated that. That was, and you know, I'll never forget it. My best deliverance came from that dear brother that used to work with Frank Hammond in that ministry. But he made me hold a mirror in front of my face. And I couldn't hardly do it. And he told me to say that I love you to myself. And it was difficult to do. In fact, it took a long time. We sat there for almost an hour before I could get it out. The demons had me so bound up in that. You know, and if you feel that way about yourself, look, it's demons. And I challenge you, go get somewhere by yourself, get a mirror, hold the mirror up in front of your face and say, like if your name is Sarah, just say, Sarah, say it to yourself, I love you and Jesus loves you. I forgive you, because you know one of the hardest ones to forgive is ourselves. Because see, we've looked wrongly at ourselves because of what sin and circumstances have done to us. So now we need to put our eyes now and our focus on Jesus and let him change us. And then when we look at ourselves, we can see that person that he loves. I think I might have shared this one time a while back. But I was struggling. I had deliverance for that, about, you know, what I just said, about looking at myself and having to say, I love you and I forgive you for what you've done. But after my mom died, it was just really... There aren't words to explain unless you've really been through that, but I was the one that got all the photos. So I was looking through photos and I found this photo of myself. And I think my mom had told me one time I was about 20 months old in that photo. And I just looked at the picture of me, and it was healing. It was healing to see myself that young. I said, oh my, what a cute little girl. What a sweet little girl. And I just started to cry. I started sobbing and crying. And I just said, wow, Lord. Wow. And he said, I loved you then, and I love you now. And I was just undone. I mean, for days, that's all I could think about was what he told me. Just because I looked at that picture of me and I saw me the way he sees me. And then I realized that's what he wants us to do. Well, then I got to looking at it and I thought, I need a magnifying glass. What is that? What is that design I had on these overalls? What is that on my overalls? What is that? So I got a magnifying glass, and then I had to move it to where that circle is, that the extra magnification. And it blew me away. Because on the overalls was a picture of palm trees and oases. And I thought, wow, you put your call on me back then. No one would have even guessed. And I realized how often, what is that for all of us? Does he do that? Does he not do that for all of us? He's marked us. We're his. Put our focus and attention. Let us be fixated. Let us turn our eyes upon Jesus. Well, I hope that you've been blessed and able to see, gaze, behold, focus, fixate, put your attention on, and turn your eyes upon Jesus. Because when you do, you will be changed. Turn your eyes on his word and let them not depart. Now, the chorus of that song, let me read it to you in case you don't know it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And I have to give the credit. Says that the song was written by Helen H. Limmel. So, in Jesus' name, that, well, in fact, let me just pray for you. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray for every person listening in the sound of my voice tonight, whether they listening tonight, whether they're going to listen at some later time. I pray that this study tonight will have given each of the people who have listened in or who will listen in something to latch on, some hope to go and run with it and see their own miracle and freedom come to pass. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name, those of us listening, whether now or at a later time, who love you, that you will draw us into this place, space, and time of seeking your face like in the days before we've never done. Cause us to cry out to you and to lean on you like never before. Thank you, Father, for opening your word to us, revealing things to us that we never, ever thought we could see before. And I pray for each of the listeners, you would bless them and encourage them and lead them in your ways always. And I pray that you would give them each the miracle that they desire of you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. So until next time, keep your eyes on and fixated on and in the Word of God. Now I'm going to play this closing song, and then if there's time, I will say good night. Otherwise, I'm going to play this song, Holy Fire. I pray this is one of my favorite ones on here, so I pray the holy fire of God that you will get this from the Word and it will just burn in you and do amazing things in your heart and in your life. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Good night, everyone.
They come, Jesus, how we long for you. Of all the Father's gifts, Lord, you're our first love. We lift our hands unto the sky in sweet anticipation now, calling you from earthly low, singing, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, don't delay, return and are burning with desire to love the flame of holy fire. Through waiting, Lord, our eyes are fixed on you. Oh, you, dear watching Lord, we know you're coming. Anticipation now, calling you from earth below, singing, come Lord Jesus, come Lord Jesus, don't delay, return and steal your bride away, our hearts are burning with desire. Love the flame of holy fire. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, don't delay. Return and steal your bride away. Our hearts are burning with desire. With love the flame of holy fire. We're waiting, Lord, our eyes are fixed. We'll be right back.
Good night, everyone. We will see you back again next week, and I pray you have a blessed week, and we love you guys. Good night now.